no matter where you are in your career, I don't care if you've been practicing 30 years or you're just out of law school, or even if you're still in law school, it's never too early to start developing relationships, both in person and online, because you never know where the next case may come from.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. My name is Steve Fritzen. I hope you're having a great day so far. And again, what we try to do on this show is to bring on experts and guests that are going to help you improve your law practice one way or the other. It doesn't really matter if it's someone that's been in your shoes or someone that is doing something unique that you can learn from. It's all positive for you as a lawyer to get some help and get some advice from people that have been there and done that. So today is no different. I've got an amazing guest. I've been dying to get this guy on my show for a couple months. I had to reschedule with him. I feel a little bit bad about that, Frank. But we're here now, and I want to introduce Frank Ramos. He's an author. He's a social media expert. He's a partner at Clark Silvergate. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show, and I'm just so excited. I was just talking to you a minute ago about a comment I made on your social media post, because I found that it was something really helpful. I mean, how often are you reading a social media post where you're not only able to add value, but then you're able to read the other comments and hear what other people are doing that's working for them and actually get some value? It's just not something that's happening, you know, every day. So I appreciate you. You're posting. We'll get into that in a minute. Do me a favor and give a little background to my audience about how you came to be, and then how did you figure out that marketing was something important, and take it from there.
You know, as a lawyer, and this is true for really any professional, your value is based on your relationships with others. Those individuals refer you work, whether it's cases, if a lawyer or whatever area of practice that you do. And in order to have those relationships, you have to reach out to people and you have to stay connected and stay front of mind. And so social media particularly really helps in that regard, especially now that we're still in the pandemic, a year out, and many of us are still social distancing. We're not traveling as much. We're not meeting people for coffee or lunch or for drinks. And so how do you maintain those relationships you build over years, maybe even decades? And platforms such as LinkedIn really allow you to do just that by posting in an area that you're comfortable with, that you know that sort of reflects your expertise, and doing it consistently, if possible, daily. You're always front of mind of your contacts and your relationships and your referral sources, so that when they have a case that they need help with in your geographic area, in your backyard, they'll think of you and give you a call.
Yeah, and I want to get into the weeds pretty seriously today on that subject, and dealing with COVID, and also with just how to become sort of a social media guru as a lawyer. But take us back. You've written some books. You've obviously advanced yourself as a marketing professional in the legal space. Take us to that. What was the switch? Where did you go from lawyer to being lawyer/marketer?
I think early on, I realized that there were a lot of lawyers around me that were good lawyers, but not great lawyers, but they had a lot of business. And there were a lot of great lawyers who had very little business. And the difference wasn't really the fact that one lawyer is better than the other. It was just that one lawyer was able to tout his or her background better than others. Obviously, you want to provide a great work product. You want to be great at what you do, but people have to know what you're doing. They have to understand and appreciate your expertise and understand how you can serve their purposes. And so if you're just sitting in your office and you're never leaving and you're not marketing and communicating and reaching out to people, you're always going to be just an employee. You're just going to be somebody at a firm or at a company where you're doing great work, which is wonderful, but you're not really out there and people don't really know you and what you can do for them. So no matter where you are in your career, I don't care if you've been practicing 30 years or you're just out of law school, or even if you're still in law school, it's never too early to start developing relationships, both in person and online, because you never know where the next case may come from.
Yeah, and I've spoken at a number of law schools, and it's just, hey, the person to your left, to your right, they're going to be a general counsel at a mid-market or large corporation at some point in the next 15 years. You may want to keep in touch with them. You may want to, you know, follow their career and stay friends and build relationships with some key people, the smarter people in the room, if you will. And they just kind of look at me funny, and I, all right, you're gonna regret it later. And I think that lawyers that, you know, maybe from 10 and 15 and 20 years ago are just coming around in the last couple of years to figure out, you know, maybe I made a misstep in my analysis of how I need to develop these relationships or maintain relationships. So what are some things that you do to stay top of mind? I mean, social media for sure. Are there other things that you're doing to keep relationships fresh with your clients or with other professionals that could refer you?
You know, social media is good. You can also reach out through text messages, voicemail messages, handwritten letters are always really well liked. You know, I have stationery that I have right to the right of me that I complete and send out. It's a very inexpensive marketing tool. You know, I recommend that every lawyer go out and buy some basic stationery with their name and address and their return address in the envelope and make a point to write at least one letter a week, if not more, to a contact. And doesn't, you're not really asking for business. You're just saying, oh, hey, I was just thinking of you. I hope you're doing well. All the best, blah, blah, blah. Just a few sentences, you know, making the effort of actually your own pen writing a letter to somebody means a lot to folks. And I generally receive a handful of written letters either every week or every month. And I keep most of them for a while. You know, eventually I'll throw them away, but they're there. And it's nice, you know, it's a nice little reminder. It's a nice token. In addition to that, you know, to the extent that you can have people over to your office and have them over for coffee or for drinks, that's another way of doing it. You know, try to find ways of marketing that don't really disrupt your day too much. Because if you're going to spend 2 hours in a lunch or 3 hours at a dinner, you're probably not going to do too many of those. And you're just not going to enjoy it that much. And you have a big bill at the end. And the ROI is probably not going to be great. But if you can do things in your own office, you know, we're doing this by audio, and your audience can't appreciate it, but I have basically a rum bar over my right corner that I have people over occasionally, and I have a coffee bar onto my desk off to the left. And it's just easier to invite somebody over to my own office. And if they're late, it doesn't matter because I'm working, and you know, I don't have to go anywhere, drive anywhere, or pay for parking, or wait around, or have things last longer than they should. And if they cancel, I'm still working. It doesn't really matter because, you know, one out of three times your lunch date or your contact isn't going to show up. And that can be a source of frustration. So try to find ways of both reaching out to people online, but also in person that is as least disruptive as possible to encourage you to do it more.
Yeah, that's great. And doing something different, that's something that's memorable. And that's something that you can become known for. And I think the days of writing letters, handwritten letters is kind of gone. And to be able to do that. And I know if I received a written letter, which by the way, I don't, but if I did, I'd lose my mind. Like I would think that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. My day is made or whatever. I get calls, I get emails. Those are lovely, but holy mackerel. And I try to send those out, around the holidays, but it's hard. People have a really hard time doing that. And I think just to get into a habit of one a week, you know, would be really, you know, easy to do. And I think it would get significant, you know, benefit to you and to that relationship.
Yeah. What I recommend to folks is to take two pieces of stationery and two envelopes and put them and leave them on your desk. And they're a constant reminder that you have to send these out before the week is out. Because if you put them in a drawer, you're probably never going to think of doing it. But if it's right there in front of your desk, like, oh man, I got to write this letter. And it really doesn't take very long. And you can have your legal assistant, you know, fill out the address, you know, to the other person. It's just a few sentences. It takes about 5 minutes. It's just whoever you're thinking of at the time that you haven't reached out to in a while and you want to sort of make sure they're still within your sphere of influence.
I mean, maybe even get your assistant to remind you or push you to do it, like give him or her permission to like bother me or hit me up, maybe even fill out the envelope and everything so that all you have to do is fill out the three or four sentences on the stationery. Just make it as easy as possible. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, so it's a great idea.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about social media. Let's get into the weeds on it because that's an area that you've excelled in. I'm following you and seeing your posts all the time. And kind of how did you get going in that? And then where has it led and how has it benefited you?
You know, there's several major platforms and we'll talk largely about LinkedIn. There's Facebook, which is sort of more friends and family. There's Twitter, which always seems to be a place where you can get a lot of information, breaking news, but the trolls are there in mass. And there's Instagram, which is sort of where you look pretty through your photos. And there are lawyers who excel in those platforms. I don't. And they're tricky platforms to do well in. And I think LinkedIn is probably the best for professionals. And it's a platform that I've visited and left over the years several times. And probably around 2016, I really committed to it. I think I was first on the platform around 2007 or eight in its early years. And then it was largely sort of an employee-employer type job posting site where individuals turned their profiles into resumes and headhunters tried to find you. And I think that was probably 90% of the activity. And it still serves that purpose, but it's really grown well beyond that. And so I revisited the site maybe in 2011, 2012, and it really wasn't until 2016 that I had evolved and the platform had evolved enough that I really figured it out and I committed to posting every day. I had started writing some books for other lawyers. I think at the time I'd written a book called The Associate's Handbook. It was a free ebook that had been published by a voluntary bar association called the Defense Research Institute. And I wanted to promote it to get into more people's hands. And so I started including a very brief excerpt of it each day. And for folks who aren't familiar with LinkedIn, you're limited to 1,300 characters. It's a few sentences, a paragraph or two. So you can't say a whole lot. And that's good and bad. Once you get acclimated and get used to and accustomed to writing these short spurts, it becomes very easy to do. But so around 2016 in the summer, I started doing it daily. And then I moved beyond just sort of sharing sort of excerpts from the book. And I started providing other posts. And for the most part, I was sort of providing commentary on the practice, providing tips and advice and how-tos and pre-trial trial skills on leadership, marketing, mentoring, and so forth. And that kind of just blossomed. That was sort of my brand on the platform. And that's been kind of consistent fairly much since then. And I want to say a couple of years ago, especially around COVID, when people were kind of getting a little desperate and out of sorts, I started doing a lot of inspirational and motivational posts just to help people through that. And that's sort of become part of my overall brand as well. And that's kind of where I am at now. If anybody follows me, I'm close to 57,000 followers now. And I generally now can post several times a day. Often I'll try to stop myself from posting too much. And what you'll find is once you get on a platform, the first, I want to say 3 weeks is difficult because you have to make it a habit. You know, it takes generally 3 weeks to turn something to a habit. And so if you can spend 3 weeks posting every day, by the end of that time, it's going to become second nature. And certainly within a month, if not 2 months, you'll find yourself having to stop yourself from posting too much. And it seems kind of counterintuitive and somewhat paradoxical, but you will find that once you get acclimated to it and get accustomed to it, you will be posting a lot and you'll start developing a following. And what I recommend to lawyers and really to any professionals to pick a topic that you're an expert in or like to be an expert in and post on it regularly so that others come to see you as an expert in that area. Now, my thing is a bit more broad. It's more sort of just the general practice, although it has led to business and has led to referrals. But if you, let's say, do cybersecurity, you know, post on cybersecurity on a regular basis. If you do non-competes, do that. If you do product defense, or if you do personal injury auto, or if you do criminal DUI, whatever is your niche. You know, there's an attorney I know. Her name is Hannah Hembry Bell. And she is a divorce lawyer, family law lawyer in Austin. And she just posts about that all the time. And often she'll post videos of herself in the car, but she has some random thought and she'll share a video. And she's known for that. And she's done a lot of business because people see her in that niche and they see her as an expert in that area. And if they have a case in Austin, they'll give her a call. So ultimately, what you'll find is that you're going to build a following. People are going to start following you, seeking connections with you. And if you're posting regularly on a given topic, they're going to come to see you as an expert in that area. And when they have a case that they need help with in your backyard, they're probably going to give you a call.
So let's talk about content, because one of the concerns lawyers are going to have listening to this is, all right, so I'm an expert at employment law and I want to post on that. Where am I getting content from? Is everything coming out of my head? Am I sharing other people's posts? Am I sharing other people's written content? How do I get the posts out and how many of those can I realistically do in a week or in a month on a particular subject? So how do you sort of manage that type of situation?
You know, if let's say you're doing employment law, that's a great area. Most employment lawyers I know speak and write on their topics pretty regularly, and I would suggest that they go to a PowerPoint they've recently done. And if it has 20 slides, you probably have 20 posts. Take an article they've recently done that has maybe like 8 subsections, and then you have 8 posts. And start with something you already have created. That's what I did. I started with the book I wrote, and I basically took little excerpts. Remember, you're limited to 1,300 characters, only a few sentences. So you can take something you already wrote and maybe tweak it a little bit, make it sound less legalese, make it sound more conversational, and do that for a bit until you exhaust what you already have. And then in the process of doing that, you've gotten acclimated to getting on the platform, either on your phone or on your laptop or on your tablet. You've gotten acclimated to actually writing a post, even though it's something you've already written before, and you're sharing existing content, but you're getting used to being on LinkedIn. And that's part of the process. And within a few weeks, even though you're not really generating new content, you've become acclimated with how to generate content. And then what you'll find is you'll start thinking of things to write about. And I generally recommend people have their phone notes app open or keep a little journal in their purse or in their pocket and jot things down. You know, they're in line at the dry cleaner and an idea comes to mind. They're in line at the supermarket, or they're waiting for a hearing, or they're at some event and they're bored to death. And so they go off into the corner and they jot a couple of notes. It's the creative process. Once you light that fire, it really becomes a conflagration. It really spreads very quickly. And people often are worried, like, I'm just gonna run out of things to say. And you'd be surprised that never happens once you get past that sort of 1 month mark. It really doesn't happen. Now, obviously, if you have a trial, something happens, or, you know, and you get out of practice, you have to kind of get back into practice again. But you'll find that once that becomes part of your routine, like waking up and brushing your teeth or getting your morning cup of coffee, it'll become very second nature.
And that's really the key to anything you want to be successful with, is having the habit and making it a regular part of how you do things, whether you want to improve your eating habits, whether you want to become a better, you know, player on a sports, in a sports league or sports team, and building your career, business development. I mean, that's all I do every day, all day, is help lawyers on this subject. And it's all about habits. And if we can get into a flow, whether it's social media posting or making regular email outreaches to get appointments with strategic partners, or how to get your client to make, you know, introductions for you, it's all a habit. So I think that that's really going to be an important part of how somebody gets going and is successful. Do you have a content calendar that you're using, or are you just doing it off of the list of the things that you write down in your journal?
I started with a calendar. That's a good way to start. To sort of discipline yourself, you may want to sit down on a weekend or in the evening and jot down ideas for the next 30 days. And that will help you. But what you're really going to find, and I think it's true for most people who've been on any platform for a period of time, is that at some point you're going to abandon keeping a journal. You're not going to worry about forgetting that idea. You're not going to worry about, oh, I had this great idea and I forgot about it. It's just going to stay front of mind to you. And you're going to always have your phone with you, and you'll be like, oh, I'm just going to jot it down. I mean, typically it takes me about a minute to write down a post. And I mean, that's where I'm at this point in my, you know, in my journey on LinkedIn. And I do that maybe 2 or 3 times a day. And sometimes on the weekends when I have more free time and I'm running errands, I may do that 4 or 5 times a day. But I'm really, in terms of the actual posting, I'm not spending more than 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes the entire day on that. So again, the first part of it, the sort of the starting up, does take some effort, but if you can commit to it, kind of like, you know, committing to a diet, you know, the first couple of weeks are always the hardest. A new workout routine, the first couple of weeks are always the hardest. But once you get that under your belt, you'll find it's a lot easier to do it.
And I think similar to the assistant helping you with those letters, you know, it might also be helpful to have somebody in your corner if you need it, pushing you forward, either posting for you or helping you to just, you know, keep track of things, or maybe deciding if you know, there's other, you know, images that you can use, just helping you put it all together so you're not maybe feeling alone. Some people can do it on their own, and other people need, you know, the accountability partner, or they need somebody in their corner, assistant, to just help them get it out the door, get those things, you know, published in a, maybe using a Hootsuite or something that automates that calendar. Again, not for everybody. The question I have for you also is, there's so many different things to post. There's not only different topics and things that we can discuss in a minute, but I was going to ask you about infographics, images, memes, videos. There's all these different things that you can do to post and get a message across. What are your thoughts on those kinds of posts versus, you know, just text?
You know, I think visual is important. I typically do not use a lot of visuals, and I'm not really known for visuals, but I do know a number of lawyers who do it. There's different genres. One, videos, I think, are really good. There is a number of attorneys who use video very effectively, and it's really nothing more than just their iPhone, and they're recording themselves, and they're talking about some topic, and doesn't look, you know, very polished or professional, but they get their point across. If you're going to do videos, keep them short, 30 to 60 seconds, make sure there's a point. If you can, try to embed the text into the video. That's actually easy to do. There are certain apps you can send your video to, and for a small charge, they'll do that for you. And in terms of images and so forth, there are a lot of things that, in terms of design, that at one point were very expensive and now are not. There are lots of apps, lots of platforms that you can pay flat fees to, monthly or streaming fees to, and you can get a lot of that information. You have to figure out, remember, LinkedIn is a kind of different type of platform. It's morphing into more like Facebook, Instagram, where imaging is becoming more important and videos are becoming more important. But it's still very much a text-only platform. And so if you want to do text-only, that's fine. If at some point you want to explore and move beyond that, that's fine too. What I recommend is that you try to connect and follow people in the area of practice you're in and see what they're doing, seeing how they're communicating with their respective audience. Are they using text-only? Are they using videos? Are they using images? Are they using memes, which are now suddenly becoming more popular? Are they pulling articles from, you know, various publications and commenting on it, and see what their engagement is. See any likes, how many comments, how many shares. You see that all at the bottom of their various posts, and you say, oh, okay, well, I see that this attorney also does cybersecurity, and she posts twice a day, and at least once a day, she includes a video or an article. And over her last 12 posts, three of them have gotten a lot of engagement, and two of them include video, and one doesn't, or, you know, and so you can start seeing patterns. You know, try to be your own sort of analytics analyzer and seeing who is in the space you want to be in and how they're communicating to their audience and what type of response they're getting with their communications. And it's a bit voyeuristic, but it's very important for you to figure out where you want to be and what you want to do.
Yeah. The thing that I like too is when I see people mix things up, if it's only promotional or just images, or it's just, hey, I got super lawyer, or it's things like that. I'm not thrilled. Like it's not going to capture my attention. I might say like, give them a thumbs up like, or something like that, but that's really about it. There's no engagement, and I'm looking for that engagement. Again, the post that you had this morning, I responded to, it was about what apps or add-ons or programs are you using to make you more efficient? And you mentioned one, and then other people chimed in. It was the Grammarly, right?
Right.
And then I chimed in about Boomerang for Gmail. And then I started reading all the other people's comments, because to me, that was interesting. And it's something that I'm always looking at, you know, what's the newest, latest, greatest XYZ? That's what I'm looking for. So that engagement, you're going to get a lot more comments, a lot of people chiming in, which I think is really, really helpful. Now, let me ask, I've got a bunch of things written down here, and I just want to run, we'll do a speed round. I'll say the type of post, and then you tell me what you think about it. All right?
Sure, absolutely.
So number one is what I call a rant, which is where someone just has an angle on something that may not even be business related, or if it's business related, it might be an opinion about it, and they just rant on it. Okay, what do you think about those?
It depends on the topic. Some people do it effectively. If they're ranting about the education system, or if they're ranting about the economy generally, I would avoid political posts. Sure. Or controversial posts. You have to understand your audience. And there's a lot of complaints on LinkedIn that they don't want it to become another Facebook. And so immediately, and sometimes I'm just out of curiosity, I'll see a post that has like 5,000 comments. And invariably, it's something political oriented, and half the posts are kind of ripping into the person posting them. Have you got a lot of attention? Yes. Is it positive? No.
In particular, on LinkedIn, we really need to keep it business related. I occasionally see people posting things that, again, if it's something about your family, but it has a business angle or twist, that's fine. Like I had a picture of my son and I fishing, but it's because I wrote an article for the Chicago Daily Law Bulletin about fishing for business and all of that. It wasn't just about, hey, here's me and my son fishing, and isn't this wonderful? Well, that's Facebook. Keep it on Facebook. You know, we don't need another Facebook. right? So, but, right. But the rant, I did a rant about a client I worked with who wrote an article, and their firm did just a terrible job of helping them get that article promoted through social media and other means. And I had to basically teach the lawyer to go to his marketing department and teach them how to do social media for him to get support on an article that he invested his time into. And I posted about that and how not upset I was, but disappointed. And sure enough, a managing partner of a firm or a leader in a firm had a negative comment about it because, like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be talking negatively about marketing people at law firms. I'm not talking about negative. I'm talking about it's shameful that an attorney's going to spend that much time on an article and then not have it be utilized properly because a mid-market law firm doesn't, you know how to do that. And he's going to teach them. So, you know, you're not going to make everybody happy, but the majority of the people that saw that rant were on board with it and thought it was, you know, appropriate.
Yeah. And I think there's a certain personal aspect to it that readers want, you know, and personalized content where you talk about personal failure and how you overcame it seemed to go viral often. So I'm thinking back through my posts and the ones I talk about where, you know, I talk about my prior bouts with depression, or I talk about some failure in my life and how either through support from family or friends I was able to overcome it. Those seem to really resonate and really take off.
Yeah. How about an educational post? And I know we talked about this a few minutes ago, you know, writing on your subject area, but educating people on the law, educating people on things they may not know around, you know, for me, it's marketing, branding, business development. You're doing that as well. What do you think about education as posts?
I think that's great. I think if that's your bread and butter and you're constantly giving away free content, some people always wonder, well, why am I giving away all my expertise? It's like, you'd be surprised. The more you give away, the more you're going to get back.
Yeah. And the next one's a little more controversial, promotional. And I know I mentioned Super Lawyer, and I'm not suggesting that's not a good thing to post, but I want to get your take on someone, maybe it's not shameless self-promotion, but definitely there's something in it about, you know, promoting a win or promoting something positive that's going on in your life that from a business perspective. How do you feel about those types of posts?
I don't have a problem with promotional posts as long as they're no more than 20% of your feed. Okay. And I generally have a rule that if you're going to share something like Super Lawyers, which is perfectly fine, or Best Lawyers, or Win a Trial, that's not your entire feed. And you see certain firms where every post is about some accomplishment, which is great, but then you stop reading them. Like if you're not giving me content, if all you're doing is advertising your firm, then why am I following you? And so if I'm going to talk about something I did, or if I'm going to talk about some victory our firm had, typically I'm going to make sure that I've given you so much content that you're happy to read about something I did. You're like, that's okay. Like, okay, yeah, he posted about some distinguishment, but you know, he's posted like 10 other things and things that I like and enjoy. So, you know, that's perfectly fine by me.
Yeah. I mean, something I've been doing lately, for example, is the Fretzenator of the Week. So I'm taking clients that are sharing their successes in my programs, and I'm kind of acknowledging them on LinkedIn and giving them some props. And then other Fretzen clients or other people that know them will chime in and say, hey, congrats, this is great. Glad you're doing well. So it is a little bit self-promotion in the sense that I'm using my name as a verb. But on the other side of it, you know, I'm acknowledging a client's success, not my success, a client's success.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea for people who are in the consulting area and whatever it is that they do in consulting for assisting lawyers or law firms. Obviously, they have a cadre of clients. Their clients, I'm sure, are doing well. They're very happy with their services. And so it's a way to promote them and promote yourself at the same time. And therefore, you have an actual example of something you've done well through them.
Yeah. And then the last one I was going to bring up to you, and you already mentioned this earlier, was motivational. So some lawyers are inspiring and want to share motivational, you know, stories and things that help them in their business or in their life. And other lawyers aren't comfortable sharing or open to that. What's the benefit or power of, you know, someone that has motivating posts?
Those are generally the ones that are most well-received. And during the COVID period, I started posting a lot of motivational, inspirational posts and found those are the ones that really had the most comments and likes and shares. And I would get a lot of messages from young lawyers and even more senior lawyers saying, you know, I've had a tough week or a tough month. So I've still been in isolation. I really appreciate you regularly posting on this. And some of those have led to, you know, long-term business relationships. So one, I wouldn't suggest maybe you start with that. Maybe you start with something that you're more comfortable with and kind of expand. The longer you're on the platform, the more you're going to sort of grow out your tentacles and try new things and explore new areas and try to come up with new topics. Start with what you're most comfortable with. And over the weeks and months to come, spread your wings and certainly try motivational, inspirational posts.
Thanks, Frank. And what I'd like to sort of wrap up with, if you're okay with it, is just talking a little bit about, and it doesn't have to be to you, this doesn't have to be you specifically, but just generally what you've seen as it relates to return on investment of time and energy, because that's the big question lawyers are going to ask in here. They're going to say, everything I just heard from Frank is awesome, because that's what I think, right? And they would think the same. The next thing they're going to say is, well, all right, so let's say I do this for a year, I do this for 2 years. What's the realistic expectation of return on investment as far as how it's going to help my practice? What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're going to develop a lot of relationships with significant referral sources. You're going to be asked to speak and write. You're going to be asked to lead and participate. You're going to be seen as a subject matter expert, and it's going to pay off. And really, it only takes 15 minutes a day. For someone who is completely new to LinkedIn, take 15 minutes and for the first week, just work on your profile. And that's your first week. That's, you know, whatever long that may be. And the second week, just explore who LinkedIn is recommending you connect with and follow, and do that for a week, 15 minutes a day. And if the next week, for 15 minutes a day, look at people who are in your orbit, their connections, and see what they're posting. And, you know, look at your feed and really study their posts and which ones are resonating, which ones aren't. And then after 3 weeks, start posting yourself. Start, you know, 15 minutes a day, I'm going to start doing one post a day. And you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of content. And then probably within a month or so, you're going to find that you're pretty much, maybe not an expert, but certainly very facile with how to use it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I can tell you from my experience in working with a number of my clients that many of them are either just getting started with social media, or some have been doing it for a while. And it's you're either in the game or you're out. You're either moving forward or you're dying. And the idea that I'm just going to ignore social media. It's like chopping off a leg. You're not going to get where you need to go these days if you're not relevant, if you're not being seen and everybody else is. So you have to make a decision on your time, yes, but you have to make a decision, where do you want to be in the future? And business development and marketing are very closely tied to each other. And while I'm teaching business development, I've been teaching LinkedIn when you mentioned 2007, 2008. Yeah, I was out there teaching it at that point. And now years later, everyone's on it. And it's where all the general counsels are, the CEOs, all the people that you want to work with or partner with, they're all there. And now you have to make a decision. Do you want to be a part of the conversation, or do you want to sit in a room by yourself? So, you know, it's one way or the other, unfortunately. So if people want to reach out to you to read your books or to get in touch with you or throw business your way, how do they get in touch with you, Frank?
You know, the best place is go to my personal website, miamimentor.com, and you'll find my books, are about 20 that are free there, training videos and podcasts like this where I've spoken. I try to help young lawyers and law students. And so most of my content, actually almost all of it, is free. And so they can find it there. And there's a way to contact me through the website.
Terrific. And I'll also include some info on the show notes so people can reach out to Frank. And just thanks again for taking the time. I mean, there's so many great takeaways and just taking the blinders off of the subject that a lot of lawyers question whether or not it's for them. And I think you've really helped to shine the light on it. So thanks again for being my guest.
Thanks for having me, and have a great one.
Yeah, appreciate that. And hey, everybody, thanks for spending some time with Frank and myself this morning or today. We're morning, but it could be anytime when you're listening to this. I don't know. The idea that you could get some takeaways from every single show, and this one in particular, there's at least 5 or 10 that you should have written down. And the goal, again, to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody, and be safe.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.